Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We want to win! Now is the time the playoffs begin!
Too soon, Plowsy.
What are you doing, Plowsy?
He looked at Tim like, what should I do, boss?
Well, we won't hear this for another 4 to 5 months, potentially, because we like to play it before the season starts as well. So, one last rodeo.
You know what you're doing? You're rubbing in the face of this rights holder, sir.
It's 2013. Let's get that 12th ring. Come on, get rowdy, get loud.
No ring this year, Doug.
No, they didn't get one this year. Maybe next year.
Doug, it's Ryan Kelly Morning After. It airs on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Kelly Chase brought to you by Petromart in the 8 o'clock hour. And right now, it is our pleasure to welcome to the appliance discounter phone lines the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. Mo, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, before I get into my hard-hitting baseball questions, how closely are you guys watching the hurricane situation on the Atlantic coast of Florida? Because watching CNN this morning, they keep mentioning Jupiter as being one of the potentially hardest-hit areas.
I would say that's my biggest focus of the last 24 hours.
Wow.
So we've basically evacuated everybody out. Complex is completely shut down. We got all the players to their homes because our instructional league was supposed to end this week on Friday, but we got everybody out 2 days ago, and then most employees have decided to head west to the other side of the state, Fort Myers or Sarasota. I did talk to a couple people this morning that have decided to stay there. I've encouraged them to get in their car and leave, but people make decisions. But kind of scary it is, and everything I read and hear about this, it's Jupiter's right in kind of the bullseye.
Yeah, and I recall a couple of years ago, a storm, but not a hurricane, I don't think, did some damage to Roger Dean Stadium, correct?
We did have a hurricane.
Was it a hurricane?
I think we've had multiple damage there from hurricanes, but I think the biggest one was probably somewhere like 02 or 04, where we actually had a light tower in right field fall and hit the building.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking to Matt Holliday. We were talking to Matt Holliday, I guess, 2 days ago. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
And he's already down there, and he said that he was taking the family on the other side of the state. People are legitimately concerned. And, of course, with all the baseball operations that the Cardinals have down there, I was wondering. So it is something that, as you said, has been your biggest focal point here over the last 24 hours. I would imagine so.
Scary. So hope for the best.
Absolutely. John Mozeliak with us here on the program. Did you get a chance? Did you want to watch the Mets and Giants last night?
You know, I ended up having a dinner meeting last night, but it was definitely on the television, and you know, it's hard not to pay attention. That game was a very good baseball game, mm-hmm. and you know, Bumgarner would be a tough guy to beat. So,
boy, it's amazing what he does in October, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it was impressive.
What do you think of the current playoff format? Because some people, I like it more now than what it was before with 94 through 2011, if I'm not mistaken, because I feel like it gives further reward to the division winners and penalizes, but still allows those teams that didn't win the division in, and they are all in one game and have to use their ace. Do you like that, or would you like to see an adjustment made to the current playoff format?
No, I like what we have now, and I also think it's good for baseball to have a few baseball games played where it's game seven.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have to play seven games to get there. It's one. And I think that's exciting, and I think it's really good for baseball. So I know a lot of teams that end up in that wild card or that one game play, and that they're frustrated if they lose because that's all they got. But I think it draws a lot of positive attention to the game.
Mo, with the season that just finished up for your ball club, you know, there was some good 10 games over 500, but it seems every time they got started, there was a stop, and things just didn't fall right for you guys. When you look back, and it was, you know, it's one game that kept you out of the postseason. When you look back, where do you think things went wrong with this ball club where you weren't able to get to where you wanted to be?
I think you could point to a lot of different areas of concern and areas that we need to improve upon. But, you know, I think that the most glaring issue we had to deal with was injuries. And especially when you think about the month of August and losing Carpenter, losing Diaz, and losing Holiday, it's just a tough thing to overcome. I understand that we had guys step up and do really big things at that time. Obviously, Jerko and Moss got real hot. But I think that inconsistency of who we were going to play and how we were going to do it was adversely affected the club in terms of overall record. And I also feel like the season as a whole, spring training, we dealt with some injuries, and I think I just felt like even in camp, we never really got things going. And, you know, that's always a little bit of a concern. Sometimes you look at how you play in spring training and you don't read too much into it because you're only seeing your club maybe for 3 to 6 innings during the day, and then, you know, you're playing a lot of future Cardinals in the latter half of a game. But I still felt like, you know, we were seeing some early signs of what was ultimately going to be some of our struggles and never really got on track. As you point out, we did finish 10 games over 500, but we expected better, and unfortunately it didn't happen.
You said yesterday at your news conference that improving the defense was a priority, but it seems like that it's not necessarily an easy thing to do. I mean, Diaz is the shortstop, Molina's the catcher. Up the middle, you're pretty much set, I guess, except for center field. Is that the priority?
Certainly would want to look at that. I do feel Grichuk at times did a very good job, but there were other times where there were lapses. So thinking about him potentially in left field, I do think, you know, he would definitely be an above average defender there. So I feel like center field's an opportunity, and then we got to decide how we want to treat second base, and, you know, giving Colton Wong more of an opportunity probably to play every day. But, you know, if we do that, I do think you'd see a benefit from a defensive standpoint. And I do think Diaz is someone that, other than sort of that first couple weeks in the big leagues, he ended up playing pretty well. And so we're not going to position him as a elite defender, but if you have a 850 or 900 OPS, you're going to find a way to play.
Colton Wong had some rough spots offensively this year, even in the beginning of the season defensively, but it seemed toward the end of the season before, you know, he got hurt out in left field at Wrigley, he was a game changer defensively. Are you saying that that's one of the things you're looking at, giving him more of an opportunity?
Yeah, I just feel like that's a good place to give him that opportunity, because I do think he's a gold glove caliber defender. And when you're looking to shore things up, I think that would be a good place to start.
And when you're looking at the defensive shortcomings that you guys had this year, do you think that impacted the pitching? Because there's guys like Leak or ground ball pitchers, and if you're not playing good defensively, sometimes even plays that aren't errors, just plays not made, can impact the pitcher. Do you think that factored into, you know, some of the bad outings we saw?
Absolutely. I think, and I talked about this with you and others back in, you know, April, May, June, when you're committing errors, you're adding to the pitch count of a pitcher. And what went from a quick, you know, 12 pitch inning is now 26 or 27. That's a problem. And, you know, you're going to not go deep into a game. Your pitch count's going to rise, and then you're out. And I think it also puts pressure on your bullpen too. So it's sort of a double whammy. And unfortunately, that happened to us way too often. And when you look at this team, even just relative to the 2015 team when we won 100 games, we did it, you know, very differently in the sense of we won games 2-1, 3-2, and we weren't able to do that this year.
I don't think anybody or very many people saw a 30 home run season from Jed Jerko coming. Kind of hard to put him on the bench. Where do you see his future?
Well, I think what he does for us is he just gives us ultimate flexibility, because I think he can play all four infield positions. I think when you look at trying to do matchups, and again, if you're trying to give Colton Wong more of an opportunity, maybe you play Jerko when we're facing a tough left-handed pitcher, sit Colton. Obviously, you're going to want to make sure you space out how much Diaz plays and Peralta. So to me, I think getting him at bats won't be that difficult.
You know, pitching is so important to you guys. It has been sort of the cornerstone. And one of the guys that looked like he was a can't-miss guy, super talented, Michael Wacha, dealt with, you know, the same type of injury a couple of times. What do you think the future is for Michael Wacha? Can he sort of regain that form? And do you see him as a starter, or is he a guy that maybe, based on his limitations, will have to work out of the bullpen?
You know, I think it's a really important offseason for him. He's gonna change his offseason strategy. He's going to look to bulk up and add some weight and strength. And if he does that, he feels like that could position his shoulder to a place where it just doesn't take the same kind of stress that he's currently dealing with. He's going to follow the same model that I think Brandon McCarthy did, and it worked for him because they both had the same injury. And so my fingers are crossed that helps, because, you know, clearly what he's doing is not sustainable. It's not going to be something that you can count on, and that would be a concern. So I really believe that he's excited about his approach this offseason, and again, time will tell.
And you're getting Lance Lynn back next year. I'm assuming he gets penciled in as one of the starting spots. Do you think you need to acquire another starting pitcher, or are you in good shape there?
Well, I think between Waino, Leek, Reyes, Carlos Martinez, and Lance Lynn, you got five. If you're looking to upgrade from there, you know, that's where, you know, what does Walker end up doing? I think Weaver's someone that needs some more seasoning in the minor leagues. But I think really when you look at that rotation, if Waino has a good offseason, comes back strong, I really feel like that'll be our strength again.
And Trevor Rosenthal, who has said that he always wanted to be a starter, is that a guy you look at possibly stretching out and seeing if he could be a starter?
You know, we've had a lot of meetings over the last couple of days, and that is one we haven't necessarily tackled in the sense of role, but we certainly need to address that. And I think that's sort of an overarching theme with a lot of our players. Ultimately got to settle on a position for Carpenter. Ultimately want to understand how Wong's going to be used. And so I would say over the next 2 to 3 weeks, sitting down with Mike Matheny and really sort of understanding what that all looks like, and then having some clarity and communication to all the players.
If you guys are kind of looking at the possibility of Wong being a regular, you know, at second base, at least in the early going, for Carpenter it'd be first base or third base, just from your gut and what you've seen, where do you think he's a better fit?
I feel like, again, these are guys that need to understand what their opportunity looks like. I think it's really important that they prepare this offseason to make the most of what their chances may look like in spring training and in the season. And so when I think about sort of the cluster of players that we have, it's really about determining what we think's best for them. I do think this is something where we want feedback from them as well, where it's just not us dictating to them how this is all going to work. But, you know, ultimately getting down with the coaching staff and sorting through all of this to really see how we can maximize this. Because when you look at our club, we do have a lot of players where we don't have a ton of flexibility in the sense of, well, if we want to get better here, what do we do? And we have a younger group of players that needs to know what the strategy looks like and how to see it through.
With Brandon Moss, you had a guy who carried you for stretches, but really struggled really badly toward the end. How much what he did at the end going to impact your view of him and what the future holds with his relationship with the Cardinals?
You know, I certainly haven't closed any doors on any of this and assessing what we want the club to look like. And I do feel like at times having some turnover is healthy, and it's not something I think we should just ignore, because I do think if there's an opportunity for us to do some things, clearly I don't want to have eggs in a basket that tie our hands. So I think the way we'll approach free agency, especially our own, is just to be patient and then ultimately let the market get going.
How would you characterize the free agent market this year? Are there people out there that could answer your questions?
It's thin. It might be arguably the weakest free agent class in 15 years. I mean, it's what you're seeing is teams signing their players and retaining them. And, you know, that's a good strategy. It's something that we've always tried to do as well. But, you know, you look at sort of the class last year, it was pretty robust, and this year you're going to have a hard time finding solutions.
And if you're looking at center field as a potential place to upgrade, there aren't a ton of guys who seem to be a fit out there free agent-wise. Are you saying it more likely a trade?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just answering Doug's question on what the market looks like. In terms of how we get better, I mean, we have to be open to anything.
And there's so many questions, especially with the way Matt Holliday left, which was really wonderful to see. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better for Matt Holliday. He had said he was just on the show yesterday. I guess he had a lapse in judgment coming on, same lapse apparently you had.
Right.
But he had said, you know, in terms of what he can do with the Cardinals and if something can be worked out where he does come back, he said it doesn't seem likely, but the door isn't closed. Is that the way you look at it also?
I do. And, you know, I think for us, again, it's we have to figure out how we can get our organization back to where we feel we're competitive. And you know, it's not to say Matt wouldn't be part of that or couldn't be part of that, but, I mean, ultimately, sometimes you do have to move on. So I don't know the exact answer today, but, you know, I look back and I reflect over those 7.5 years on what he did for us, and you know, I'm extraordinarily grateful. I mean, he's a pro's pro. He was one of those guys, whenever you needed something, he would always do it for you, gracious. And that's what makes these types of decisions so hard, because he was just such an important part of this organization for a long time. And you think of all the successes we had, and he was right there in the middle of it. So it's always tough to sort of turn the page. But on that outside, I think my responsibility is to make sure we position this organization to get us back to where we want to go.
And do you think that means quite a bit of turnover, or just one or two guys would make the difference?
Well, we'll see. I think adding some fresh faces and adding some new energy is important, and we'll certainly focus on that.
You know, kind of amazing second half that Yadier Molina had, and it turned out the best way to get the most offensively from Yadi is to play him, not to rest him. I don't know if that was by design going in, but he did rack up a ton of playing time. Is Carson Kelly a guy who would be better served next year, getting more minor league experience, or do you anticipate he would have a legitimate shot to make the big club?
You know, I think it all depends on Pena's off season. I think it all depends on if we decide to add some more depth at AAA that for competition. I mean, part of me thinks Carson Kelly would benefit from playing every day at Memphis and continue to grow as a player, but part of me thinks there's some value working with Yadi and getting mentored. So I'm open to that. I don't think we'll have that written in ink this offseason, because I think we'll just see how some of these things unfold.
How would you assess our line of questioning? Was it at least semi-professional this morning?
You know, I think this call was relatively boring.
Yeah.
Tim, I think, is in the restroom.
No, I'm here. I feel there. It's just one of those things. I know there are things that you can't say, but those are the questions I want to ask, and so it's a tough spot, you know? So.
Oh, he came back. I see.
No, yeah, I've been here the whole time. I mean, because there are players I want to ask about, but they're on other teams, and I can't talk about it, so I don't want to put you in a weird spot. So
well,
it's,
I appreciate that. Yeah. I always sort of look at this show as where we kind of smile a little bit and have some fun, and today it just seemed like you guys were just like trying to like write an article or something.
No, we can't do that. I don't have that ability.
Well, I know you can't, Doug.
Oh, you son.
What are the off-season plans?
In what regard?
I'm going to ask you.
You're bringing Holliday back.
No. I'm talking about like, do you travel with the family? What's going on?
You know, it's tough because I have a senior in high school and I also have a sixth grader, so big gap, and it's hard to just pick up. So I will be around town and hopefully have a couple days to relax and think back of the past year, but also start really focusing on next year. But overall, just take a deep breath and get back to work.
Was this year irritating?
What's that?
Well, I'm gonna start. You want me to ask questions? I'll fire some questions your way, because that's what's on my mind. Because it's a tough spot, because the team's, you know, doing some things that historically, I think specifically, God, since this run began, which, as I always say, is amazing, that it, for 15 seasons, the team's been in the mix every single year, even in the down years. And then this one was kind of just not what we've seen historically, recent history, from Cardinal baseball with the base running and the defense. And as the GM, there's really not a whole lot you can do in the moment outside of once October, November rolls around. So I would wonder if it was more frustrating than normal to sit in your you know, spot and watch it.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree this is a frustrating season. All of us that sort of do it day in and day out, those are things that whenever you're not playing clean baseball, it's hard to sort of grind through. And I think that was some of our frustration. And you know, I know Mike and his staff are looking at this in a very serious way to see what we can do differently, how we train in spring training, how we really try to optimize the players' time, but to avoid some of the pitfalls we saw this year. So I assure you it's a focus, and hopefully we can get it right.
Does the Cubs' positioning of being so young and so talented impact the way that you and your staff go about approaching the offseason?
I think it'd be crazy for me to tell you that we ignore what our competitors are doing, but in a lot of ways, you can't let that sort of how you make decisions.
Right.
But having said that, you look at Chicago, and obviously they had a tremendous year, and they look like they're built for the future, and so we get that. Mm-hmm. I would say Milwaukee and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are all very athletic clubs that are also improving. And so, you know, it's getting tougher, and we understand that. But, you know, trying to just say there's like one thing we could do to make this where we're the best team in our division again wouldn't be fair to say either. So we have some work to do, and we understand that, and we look forward to the challenges.
John Mozeliak with us here on the radio program. I never left. I never went to the restroom. So help me, Doug. I was here the whole time. You can't see me because I'm a tiny, tiny
right,
man.
Right, you're hard to see.
Right, but I was here. I swear I was here.
You're okay. Like Ant-Man.
I am like Ant-Man. He's Paul Rudd.
And we would be remiss if we didn't offer you this opportunity.
What's this?
When you have your meetings where you start finalizing plans and how you want to move forward, if you guys want to have the meeting right here in this studio we could carry live, that invitation is out there, and we won't
try
to monetize.
Where is your studio?
It's in St. Charles for now, but we're moving it to Kirkwood, I believe, in February, John.
Well, okay. Well, maybe in February.
Oh, my word.
Where's that?
Oh, my word.
That's the clip of the week right there.
I said maybe.
Yeah, no, I heard it.
Done.
Yeah.
And we won't try to monetize it at all.
Nope. Yeah.
I will say this has to be the longest interview I've ever done.
Yeah.
Darn it. Well, now I
thought like, my compensation is zero.
You know what, though? It seemed
I think
like
I'm
it,
moving on.
It seemed like it flew by for us.
I'm sure it did.
Thank you, Mo.
See you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank
there
you.
Is John Mozeliak with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Yeah, my reasoning, because I want to ask about Charlie Blackmon, I can tell, at least I think, that this sounds like there's going to be trades. But he can't say anything about it.
So he wouldn't even say that that's how they're going to proceed. But
right.
It seemed that's the way it's going to go.
But I also recognize, and I'm sure everybody in the audience, most people in the audience recognize, you know, you can read between the lines, but he can't say the stuff. So it's kind of like, I don't know what to ask because my line is he's frustrated. I know he can't go into it because he can't rip people publicly. And then he's going to make changes, but he can't say what they are because... Hell, he flat out said the free agent class is the worst he's seen in 15 years. It's super thin. So, therefore, if they start really dipping into the free agent pool, then that would be awfully contradictory to what he described the class as. So, therefore, you know it's going to be trades. But he can't talk about those players. I mean, Charlie Blackmon truly seems like the solution.
I agree.
But the thing is what does the organization have and are willing to or is willing to give up in order to get him? I don't know.
And just because we like him and there seems to be momentum in St. Louis that would be the perfect guy doesn't mean we're going to end up with that guy. And I'm sure they have a plan A, plan B, and plan C, or will have one before they move
and
forward.
To get somebody who's that good, you're going to create a hole somewhere else. They're not just going to take three or four of your minor leaguers for Charlie Blackmon.
I think they would if you do a nice job packaging them up.
I don't think that's
really
going to
stress
get
the
it.
Positives.
I don't
that's
think
how you
so.
Get a deal done. But I do think it's interesting that at least, you know, and you do have to kind of read between the lines that Colton Wong is going to be at second base, and they're going to see how that goes. Didn't you get that?
Yeah, they've got one or two extra infielders between Adams and Carpenter and Wong and Jerko and Peralta and Diaz. You don't need all those guys playing that infield spot.
Right.
So one or two of them could be trade bait.
But it's going to be Wong at second and Diaz at short and Carpenter either first or third, right? And that's right, isn't that how you see it?
I guess.
Based on what
but
he
as,
said?
As we just saw this past season, they must have had 135 different lineups. So to say that this is what it's going to be most of the time, I don't know that we can say that.
Yeah,
because it changes every night.
But I do think the fact that, and part of it had to do with injury, but I do think you talk about the defense and you're shifting guys around and guys aren't necessarily in their best position, that's going to have a negative impact on your defense.
Your thoughts on what John Mozeliak had to say, 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK, how you can call in, it's how you can text in, and you can email in for our email today, which comes your way in about 15 minutes, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug Berter, Ellie Cutler, he has the clips of the week, and John Mozeliak saying he will visit us when we're in Kirkwood, but not St. Charles, to me, sounds like.
He'd not just visit, but they're going to have some of their discussions live on this station when we...
And Berter, Ellie Cutler.
You would think that he would also invite us into the room, because they could use probably a few extra voices telling him what to do. Or if he's just got some knives, he knows where to go there, too. And Bertarelli Cutlery is very convenient to all locations, even out here in St. Chuck. It's just a little bit of drive down to the city because they're right there on Marconi on the hill. Maybe you've got a steak knife and it's just not doing the job anymore. Maybe you have a nice restaurant. Maybe you've got a nice hotel restaurant.
I like the way you say restaurant.
Yes. Yeah,
I
do too. Maybe you've got
it's fun.
Maybe you spent a fort. Knives are expensive. Come on, fellas. Knives are, you don't just throw them away when they get dull. It's not cutting anything. Well, take them to Bertarelli. I've been telling you this for a couple years.
Nice.
You drive on down to the hill, you say, hey, I've got knife issues. And they will take them and they will sharpen them up. They're doing it right now for all the best restaurants in town.
Restaurants.
All the best restaurants. That's exactly what they do. They have a fabulous retail area there at the front of the store. So if you do want to buy new knives, they've got them there. Some of the Wusthof variety.
Oh.
They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, so much more. And they service all major brands of food equipment. So give them a call or drive down there. Check out their website. Mention us. You receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. So go visit Marconi on the Hill and stop in at Bertarelli Cutlery.
I have a question for you. If you're negotiating a trade, right, and the team wants this and you want that and you can't quite, is the term chop, chop, cheeky applicable where you can get it done? How would you do
that? Sure it is. You say, let's hurry up and get this done, chop, chop, cheeky.
Nice.
And the other general manager generally will cave. I've seen it happen.
Guys, all 11 St. Louis area hot shots will have a Blues kickoff bash going on in 6 days when the Blues open up their season in Chicago and enjoy amazing food and drink specials, plus Blues-themed prizes and giveaway hot shots. Also, your home for Missouri football. Each week, a different location serves the official watch party headquarters. Win tickets, tailgate passes, and hot shots gift cards. Mizzou game specials include $5.99 black and gold nachos with blackened steak or chicken, plus discounted buckets and shots. Bring your Mizzou ticket stub to any Hot Shots location the week after a home game and receive a free Tiger sampler appetizer with the purchase of two drinks. John Mozeliak and Kelly Chase are guests today here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Great to have Chaser aboard for all of the 2016-2017 season. Some people texting in how bad Charlie Blackman is. Some people texting in how Dexter Fowler would be a good answer. Some people texting in about Endar Inciarte. Guys, Matt Adams, Marco Gonzalez, and Luke Weaver could probably get it done for Blackman. What do you think? That's from Sweet Lou.
You know, might be hopeful.
You know,
wishful thinking.
Another name that has been out there, as reported by Sports Illustrated, is Mike Trout. That the Angels have nothing in their farm system at all. They're not winning with him, and they would possibly like to replenish their farm system with a blockbuster for Mike Trout. Wouldn't he look pretty good in Cardinal uniform?
Problem with that is that they're looking for that. The Cubs might be in play on that one. They still have two or three top 100 prospects along with Schwarber. So
we don't need the Cubs to get Mike Trout.
Say,
we don't need that.
What if you go to the Rockies and you go, look, Chip Kelly really wants us to have Blackman?
Well, they would have to cave on that. But I would rather have Trout. You think you could give them four or five top level prospects to get Trout?
No, I think it would take everything you have to get that guy because there's so many teams that would want him. I think Blackman is a great player, but the price tag would be substantially less.
Well, of course it would be, but Trout might be the best player in the game. Trout is considerably better than Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, I don't think
you might find yourself in the same hole that the Angels are in. You trade all your prospects, and now you're just where the Angels are, where you got one guy and not the four or five prospects.
Yeah, that's why I was saying you get a guy at a lower cost who can be exactly what you need him to be, and I think Blackman or someone like him would be fine.
Yeah, well, Blackman's going to cost you a pretty penny as well.
I know. But Chip Kelly said he wants him in St. Louis.
Chip Kelly won't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, you got to think about that.
And I don't believe Cespedes has said whether he's going to use his out option this year or not, has he? He has an option this year to opt out of his contract with the Mets.
I would rather have Blackman than Cespedes. Is that crazy? I like
it's a different
Blackman's
type
better
of player.
Defensively. He got speed. He's got some power as well. But I really, if you need a guy who's a really good defensive center fielder, especially with that young outfield, if you could, I just like a guy like Blackman.
I know. Grichuk made a couple bad plays late in the year. He had a ball go off his glove at the wall, and then he had the ball that he misplayed. Other than that, I didn't look at him as a terrible defensive center fielder.
I think he'd be fine. But if you're looking to shore up your defense, you get a premier defensive center fielder in there with those two other guys. And I think Diaz's upside at short defensively, the best is yet to come. That's my belief. I think Wong is a really good defensive player. You heard Mazalek say he's a gold glove type defender. I'd be on board.
I saw the stat the other day where, go ahead, Tim.
No. I was
the stat was on balls put in play against the Cardinals, other teams were hitting like 340. If they avoid striking out, they hit 340 just by putting it in play, which was the worst average of any Cardinal team since the records have been taken, which would lead you to believe they're slow. They're just not getting to balls. It's not that it's not all about errors. It's just that they don't have the people to run down the balls.
Your thoughts are welcome. 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can get involved in the radio program. The Eagles Rest is the new destination spot for St. Louis travelers. Look past the crowded beaches and resorts and dive into the beautiful Mount Shasta in McLeod, California. Looking for a Christmas gift for the whole family? Well, you're in luck. Introducing the TMA Listener Ultimate Family Vacation to the Eagles Rest. A seven-night stay in a beautiful 3,500-square-foot cabin featuring four bedrooms and three baths, private hiking trails, keys to the pontoon boat, two jet skis, and a basketball court, all to enjoy for the week. You can split it up with another family or two. The price, only $5,000 for a seven-night stay. The morning after listener dates start at the end of May 2017 and continue on throughout the summer until the end of August. Visit ultimate-family-vacation.info for more details or to book the cabin. Check it out for yourself. It's phenomenal. I would love to go there. Just withdraw. That's what I would do. Situated on 40 private mountain acres in beautiful McLeod, California, the Eagles Rest offers unparalleled amenities and activities for families looking to create memories that will last a lifetime. Ultimate-family-vacation.info for more details or to book the cabin. Doug, let's go up there just a week. The two of us will do a remote.
I don't need to deal. That sounds like a Brokeback Mountain situation. Why don't you take your wife?
You guys could build a little fire.
I don't need to do that.
Weenies.
It sounds like a fabulous place. But I think maybe your wife would be the one to go with.
She's busy that week.
Well, so am I.
Can I hear that again?
I'm trying to get a visual
how this might shake.
I can't tell you how pressed for time.
Popboy's doing a remix. He's doing a Buck Swope mix. Iggy, how did your quest for Lana Rhodes go yesterday? I know this is starting to frustrate you.
A little closer. I have someone who actually can get a hold of her people and find out who the agent is and who we should contact. So it's just call after call, and I'm going to finally find somebody that says, yeah, I can get you to her.
You're reaching out to people is what you're doing.
I'm reaching out. No, yesterday was just call. No text or reaching out. It was calls yesterday and an email to someone else. So
can't reveal your sources. Can't let 101 beat us to the punch.
No.
Well, just there's a ton of porn connections, so it's not like you want them anyway.
Doug Bryan's Paint with 12 years of experience can handle all of your painting needs, such as interior and exterior. That includes carports, custom painting, murals, and faux finishing, plus deck refinishing and power washing. Having an art degree, Bryan's able to offer color assistance and bring you the highest quality work. Professional, clean, affordable. Bryan offers free estimates and is fully licensed and insured. Like the Facebook page, Bryan's Paint, to see his portfolio or contact them at bryanspaint.com. Anna Marie and I were very happy with Bryan's work and professionalism. We can wholeheartedly recommend him. He matched our paint colors exactly, repaired where I drove into the garage with my whip. Mm-hmm. Completely cleaned up. You couldn't even tell they were in the home. So that's the way I like it. Brian's Paint. Check them out. Brian'sPaint.com or on Facebook, Brian's Paint. And then you can stop by the fan page and see what the word is. And there's a lot of words.
Oh, I'm sure they're discussing fascinating topics this morning.
Let me see. Tony Dotis posted a poll. Which is the most hair-raising? Ghosts, demons, wolfmen, ghouls, or Frankenstein?
Yeah, boy, I am missing so much by not being on there. I got to jot down a note. Note to self, join fan page later today for fascinating topics.
You should post it. Doug said he's going to be joining the fan page again later.
Heard a note
well,
to himself.
I have never seen this side of you, Doug.
Well, thank you, Jen. Doug.
Which one do you vote as the most hair-raising? You think ghouls?
No.
Ghouls. I like Gould when he comes on the show.
No, ghouls.
I think there's a possibility that ghosts exist, so I'll say ghosts.
What about wolfmen?
There are no wolfmen.
I guess
there
you haven't seen born Butch Patrick Dow.
Well, there
Wolf
are people
Blitzer.
Born with
there's
a condition.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, where they have hair all over them. That's a rare condition. But
women wanted to be like him, and guys wanted to be with him.
Is that Butch Patrick or his Dow?
That was Arnold Palmer he was talking about.
There's a real buzz in St. Louis about the launch of that new show that's coming up that Gould is on.
Riders
Plug?
No votes for mummies yet.
Mummies. There shouldn't be any votes for any of it.
Would you be scared if you saw a ghost?
I think I probably would be, yeah.
What about an evil clown?
No. A clown wouldn't frighten me.
What about Bigfoot?
Mm. Bigfoot would frighten me, yeah. Yeah.
I think Bigfoot's overexposed.
Oh, you think?
With the beef jerky commercials, don't you think Bigfoot's agent probably is, he's going for the money. He's not looking in the long-term interest of Bigfoot. A little overexposed, kind of like that guy from American Idol that did the car commercials. And
Taylor Hicks.
Bless America.
That's what it is. Bigfoot's doing the, right, but Bigfoot is going to become Taylor Hicks now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
When
that commercial with him, that was on like every 2 minutes. I'm your vehicle, baby.
new poll from Tony Doe. Which is worse, children or the elderly?
That's
awful.
I love them both.
Awful.
I love children and I am elderly. Mm-hmm. So I love myself.
Yeah. Let's ridicule people as they age.
How did your poll go yesterday, Timmy? Lana Rhodes or Greg Garcia?
About a 5-to-1 ratio for Lana
Garcia?
Rhodes.
Really?
Yeah, well... Twitter was a little closer. It was 60-40 Lana Rhodes.
We should have asked John Mozeliak that question.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
It wouldn't have been fun. It would have been the last time he appeared on the program. You feel like we're always one question away from him saying this is the last time I'm ever going to be on this program?
Shy Gary Pinkel out of nowhere.
I don't think so, because he knows what this show is. He's been a friend of the show for years. It's his favorite show.
Well, Jim, back to you.
We should have played the clip of Edmonds on the broadcast calling you all-knowing.
Tim well, that's knows. Why you're award-winning, guys.
Mm-hmm. Tim McKernan knows everything.
I agree.
Right.
I agree.
Agree with him. You know, Tim McKernan is like that. He knows everything.
Okay. All right, Paul.
You know, Tim McKernan is like that. He knows everything.
He doesn't.
I like cookies.
Okay, we all like
Plaza,
cookies.
You're having a ball back there.
The Keisha Gray drops are what gets me going. We've only just begun.
Too much clicking.
I'm down. She has no person. No. There's this new girl that I've had my eye on. I don't want to share her. Nope, I'm not going to change it. Classic rock. Yeah.
And you were here for this, Doug?
Yes, I was.
Did you ask a question?
I don't think so.
Classic rock.
I did. I asked her about her cello. What? Because she plays the cello.
How did you know that?
Well, he's a fan.
I think she told us.
She's very hardcore.
And I asked her. You couldn't hear her.
Yeah, that's right. I had ear problems that day. And I asked her what kind of carrying case she had with the cello, and she said it was black in color. And she didn't take it with her on all of her gigs.
I do play the cello.
Yeah, you were hard-hitting. Your question was, ever get any inspiration from that Yo-Yo Ma?
Yeah. What else do you ask a cellist? Yo-Yo Ma. Is there anything else you ask a cellist?
That's a good question, actually. Yeah. I like that.
Can you come up with any other cellist?
Oh, shucks.
How big is it? What color is it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that thing in tune?
I'm sure it's not easy.
Yeah.
I would prefer that discussion than what her job is.
Was she on Entourage? Is that the one that was on Entourage?
That's Sasha Gray, no relation.
I'm putting my makeup on.
Okay.
I like cookies.
Okay, we all like cookies.
I won't get her on the show, but I just got a release on a guest that I got to do it just for an audio postcard. Vanna White is available
Vanna
next
White.
Thursday.
Oh, wow.
I'd love to hear the audio postcard. We haven't heard an audio postcard in a while.
He's giving me all dudes.
What's wrong with that?
What's Vanna White got going?
She's got a new Wheel of Fortune app called Puzzle Pop.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Puzzle P, I call it.
I'll give that 2 minutes and then get into the penthouse picture.
How can you not like Vanna White?
Love Vanna White.
Greatest job in the history of entertainment.
Probably so. Yeah.
And she's worth a million.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Menefee also available.
Okay.
Why don't you get two of them together?
And Mary Lou Henner.
Who sends you this list? How do you get on that list?
Don't expose your sources.
Again. Yes, I won't.
Woodward and Bernstein here.
What is it, like crapguest.com? Like, where do you get that? B-listers monthly.
All of a sudden, Vanna White's available. Okay.
She got a new app she's pushing.
We got Gary Finkel waiting, and I want to talk some Mizzou.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you?
I never get any notifications.
Doug, when you get a really good night's sleep and you wake up the next morning, you feel better. You can take on more. It's just the best that you can be. How do you get a better night's sleep? It's a great question. The guys at Mattress Direct have products that are designed to help you sleep at the ideal comfort, support, and temperature. And now they even have a smart motion base that tracks your quality of sleep all night long, and you get a report on your cell phone or tablet with overnight and over several nights. It measures your time asleep, your time in deep sleep, as well as your heart rate, respiration rate, to give you personalized information about the way you actually sleep and tips on how you can sleep better. Mattress Direct has it for you. Mattress Direct is a St. Louis-based company with wow. And you'll notice in the copy of the cat, it only has one wow. And I was able to ad-lib that, and you probably didn't even know it. That's how good I am.
You're the best. You are the best.
Mm-hmm. Seamless.
Now 15 showrooms. They just opened the newest one in Alton, Illinois. They're on both sides of the river, so no matter where you live, there's a Mattress Direct near you. Support the sponsors. Mattress Direct's a great sponsor. Let them know you heard about them here on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS. They really do make finding a great night's sleep easy because you don't have to haggle or negotiate. They already have the lowest price possible on every type of mattress, pillow sheets, anything that's made that helps you sleep better. You get the best deal at Mattress Direct STL. MattressDirect.com. STL. MattressDirect.com. It's STL because they're from here. You can find them online or call 314-4DIRECT. Get your mattress direct. Yep. Well, getting a good night's sleep. Game changer. It's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. I don't really need to know that I didn't get a good night's sleep. I kind of realize that when I get up, which is most nights. I'm not a good sleeper.
I do. And it really was helped by the sleep app, and that's the same thing they're talking about there at Mattress Direct. That they have at the base. Yeah, I went to bed at 10:30 last night. I woke up at 4:30, according to my app, Doug.
What'd you do at 4:30?
It's my sleep grid.
You were just up?
Yeah, no, I scheduled to get up then.
And
I love my time.
Out of bed at 4:30?
4:38, to be exact.
What, do you get up, fix yourself a Sanka?
I do have coffee. It's unfortunately not Sanka.
Oh, you're not blessed.
No, I'm not blessed. I think it's Folgers.
Oh, that's blessing.
Is it blessed?
Yeah, Folgers. Deep, rich crystals.
Okay.
I have a few cups of that.
Do you have a Keurig? That's how my wife makes coffee with a Keurig.
Yeah, Anna Marie uses that. I don't. I just have the standard, and it's all black everything. Black cars, all black everything. Yeah.
Wow, that's almost like sexy coffee.
And then I sit there, and this morning I actually watched SportsCenter because I wanted to hear what the Mets and Giants had to say, but most of the time I'm watching the Hustler Channel. But they've had this grandma fetish thing going on lately, and I just can't get there.
Isn't that reason enough to cancel the Hustler Channel?
You know, I noticed how expensive it is, and it is really a dumb expense. And Anna Marie, she is not pro-porn.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Because I posted last night on the fan pin that Bonnie Rotten was going to be at the TMA Live, and then I noticed somebody reported it for the post to be removed, and then I clicked on who reported it, and it was my own wife.
Oh, good for her. Good for her.
Good for her. That's great.
Finally standing up to you.
So, yeah, I said, somebody just reported that the Bonnie Rotten post get taken down. She really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
no,
I
highly enjoy the penis.
Oh, yeah.
Sassy Cassie.
hey, so you told your wife, hey, honey, we got Bonnie Rotten. And she was like, just let me get out of here.
No, she's an active participant on the fan pin. So she saw that and was like, yeah.
Well, the good news is Doug is going to join back up later.
I just made a little note to myself.
Note to self, because you want to answer ghouls? You want to answer ghouls in Tony Doe's poll? Or Wolfman?
Probably not.
Don't you think Tony Doe is a great American who at times just gets a little off track? He's harmless. He just gets a little off track.
Well, he gets quite a bit off track.
But he's a great American.
Well, I don't know enough about him to know if he's a great American
I've met him.
A serial killer.
I've met him. I think he's a great American. Just a little off track once in a while. We all do, I guess, Timmy. Cardinals did a little bit this season.
Got off track a little bit?
Yeah, with some of the fundamentals.
Guys, I get up before 5, too. Thanks.
Interesting. Sure. Now everyone will want to get up at 4:38. That's when Tim gets up. I'm getting up then, too.
No one's going to want to get up at that hour.
I really am used to it.
God bless. I've never
used to it. You're never used to it. But it's different for you because usually you're up doing games. I get that. If I had to do that, it'd be a different ball game. I start going upstairs right around 9 o'clock. We watch TV, hang out. You know, I'll try and get hard. Can't happen. Then we'll roll over and go to bed.
let's just gloss over that. You know, Doug, I'll get up without the alarm clock because I'm programmed to get up. When I'm on the road and I don't have to get up, I still get up.
Really?
So I'm like a robot. Like, I know what time and I get up. I don't even realize, I'm in the shower. I don't know how I got here because it's become such a big part of my life. Oh, I'm on the road. I have clothes on, I'm showered. How did that happen? Because I'm like pre-programmed to do it.
I usually wake up around... If I don't have to get up, like on the weekends, I'll still wake up about 7.
Air mattress baby.
What?
Then I try to go back to sleep.
I would vote on the poll if you would let me back onto the page, please.
Don't let him.
Boy, you should see the number of emails I get from people begging to be let back on the fan page.
Because you blocked him.
Right.
Well, don't be vile
then. There's 4,100 members, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't consider it a success until we get to 5,000.
So, you know, the fact that, you know, most of the stuff gets let go, but if you go one and you act like an ass, and it's just like, okay, I don't need it. So you just get blocked and just move on. It's not a particularly large deal.
What do they have to do for you to block him, Tim?
I don't know. It's a certain personality trait. It's like the Supreme Court definition of obscenity. You don't know it until you see it. But you recognize it's like, oh, yeah, that's a guy. That's a jack-off. Mm-hmm. You kind of get a real tight read, probably pissed about something. It's like, okay, that's cool. You can go do that. Twitter's a great place for it, or a message board if those are still around. But otherwise, I just don't really need it. So, but then I don't know what I did. It's always innocent. It's like Shawshank.
Just so you know, message boards are still around, and Freedom Rings 2016 is a big poster saying how great Jim Hayes is.
Freedom Rings 2016 is still active.
I have several profiles where I just go on there and praise myself so no one knows it's me.
Except that you've told us that that's a handle that you've used for many years.
Yeah. I update it with a new year, though.
Right, so then that keeps people off his track.
People aren't really sure what I'm doing.
Doug, I don't know about your business, but my business would like this. If you have tried to reach the top of the search results with no luck, you need to try St. Louis Digital Media. They're a local internet marketing agency specializing in search engine optimization, AdWords, social media, and web design for small to medium-sized businesses. All their services are done in-house. And when you contact him, you speak to a real person. How huge is that? 314-200-5592 is the number. That's 314-200-5592. For the new InsideSTL.com, we have been using STL Digital Media, and we can recommend them wholeheartedly to our audience. STLDigitalMedia.com, 314-200-5592. STL Digital Media's results speak for themselves, but let me speak for them. We use them, and I know Brendan Marks couldn't be happier with the work that they do and how easy they are to work with, and really, perhaps most importantly, how easily accessible they are. That's so huge when you have an issue with your site, and they are. 314-200-5592, or visit them at stldigitalmedia.com. Time for email of the day. Blues tickets. Blues Blackhawks Saturday prize. Misty Plops on a sick run, and he's going to lead things off. But guys, Plops here. I thought Mo sounded really good on the show today. The cat may know this, but the rest of you probably don't. He and the Cardinals organization hired me to do all the PR training
and publicity for the club moving forward. Mo called me this morning to get talking points before his interviews with the guys, as did Holiday yesterday. You see, these guys needed some guidance because, as you know, like Seth Rollins, they'd been in the authorities' back pocket for years. Now, we're not in the playoffs, and we feel like we need to give the people of St. Louis some other Cardinal-related things to be excited about. That said, I'm pleased to announce that on the undercard of the Timberfake Ryan Kelly fight, Mike Matheny will be squaring off against none other than America's favorite crazy person, Butch Patrick. I hadn't heard about this.
No, I hadn't either. Being brought into this.
Mike will be walked to the ring by Jose Oquendo, and Butch is being cornered by Franklin, the mild-mannered ghost he found living in his basement. Also on the card, a grudge match between Carlos Martinez taking on Becky W., the Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday afternoon shift blackjack dealer at Ameristar Casino. Randall Grichuk squares off against Mayor Francis Slay in a Lee May leotard fight, and Big City Matt Adams will be on hand giving free henna tattoos. For more info, visit myspace.com/LeeMayBoyFoy. Thanks, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops.
The run might end here.
Hey, boys, how much would it cost for Tim to MC the next event next time I bang my wife? My brothers went to St. Louis U High, if that helps get the deal done. Thanks, Steve in Wildwood. Doug, is that odd that a guy wants me to come over and...
It is indeed, but he is a thorough living. Steve in Wildwood.
You would wear that gold sport coat, right?
I would.
Yeah.
The one Larry wore. What kind of wiring do you have in your home? So I hope that is not knob and tube wiring, because these hot takes might blow the breaker and burn you all alive. Ha! I cannot believe Jaden Schwartz injured himself in practice again. Hey, guy, why do you not try staying healthy during a scrimmage? Jeez. Ha, just kidding. It must be devastating to have an injury, because I know how passionate you must be. Best of luck, Jaden. And Joe Buck, grow a little hair, pal. It's not that hard. Yeesh. Hi, just kidding. I'm losing my hair as well, and it's been a great lesson in true self-worth. Kudos, Joe. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time. That's from Kevin Shippett, the Misty Plop Streak Stopper.
Kevin Shippett.
I'm a big Kevin Ship guy.
The Misty Plops
Streak Misty Plops firing all cylinders, Kevin Ship and the Dan Marshall Leadership Institute, that's a day for the ages.
Yeah, but the Whistler could come back and have something to say about that, too.
Morning, gents. Wonderful show today. You really know how to give us the information St. Louisans really need. You'd think I was talking about Chaser, and while, yeah, he's great, the real sage is the Plow Dodger. After announcing that Bonnie Rotten will be attending a live event, Tim told everyone to bring a raincoat, as a confused Doug was told it was for precipitation. Obviously still confused, Plowsy found his spot to explain it to Doug about 15 minutes later, when after finding out that the hats might be ready for Ms. Rotten's appearance, that some of them will be getting wet, just the chance he needed. Now do you get the perspiration, Doug, for jackets? Of course now I get it. Thanks, Plowsy. That's from the Big Boss in North County.
Mm-hmm. Big Boss, North County.
Morning, boys. Just wanted to get you this notice regarding me releasing a Korean version of the hit song The Chase Is On. Regards, Eugene Aku, Stick Sessions.
All right, that's going to get a check.
Eugene Acoustic Sessions.
He's new.
It's terrible.
Me, oh me, my, oh my, another great broadcasting day by Tim. But who should be surprised? He really is the best in the biz. Whilst listening, one can't help but laugh when Tim laughs, get excited when Tim gets aroused, or flat be serious when Tim is giving a hard-nosed interview. Tim is contagious, unlike that haggard old queen next to him. Guy has underwear older than me. Here's a guy who doesn't appreciate soppins and fixin' because they weren't around when he was born. Grow with the times, fool. Soppins are okay to bring into the bedroom. Live a little. Life is more fun when you step out of your comfort zone. Right, Cucky? Anywho, the cat is a legit journo, even though I disagree with his opinions on pizza. Stand-up guy, that cat. Please, peace to me and mine, the Jeffco gentleman.
He's no gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
Jeffco gentleman.
Since you guys are the show of record, I was going to email in and hold Tim accountable for his comment about World Series of years that end in one. But I tell you, Edmonds may have been right. Tim mentioned 2011, 2001, and 1991. But 1981 was the last time a team lost the first two road games and still shipped the title. 1971 featured a seven-game series where Roberto Clemente was called a one-man gang. 1961 featured Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle, and 1951 was a battle for New York with the Giants and Yanks battling each other.
Well, yeah, something happens every year in the World Series. You can say that. Some superstar
last
played in the World
kind of boring.
Series.
Yeah, honest with you. 2014 was exciting. It was a good World Series. It went to seven.
Yeah.
Didn't it? Right?
Nurse?
I believe it did.
Nancy? I could go back further, but frankly, it's probably a waste of time, and I should just take Timmy's word for it. No wonder he's mentioned in the same breath as Vin Scully. That's from River Phoenix Show Lemming. Doug, that's what we have for the email today. What you got?
This one is a no-brainer to me. I'm going Kevin Shipit, even though I did like Eugene Acoustic Sessions.
I'm going to agree and go with Kevin Shipit, the Misty Plop Streak Stopper.
Kevin Shipit has shipped the email today and has 2 tickets to the Blues or Blackhawks on Saturday. Time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk, for Brady, for the Seamaster, for Brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McCurdy. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.